Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Aramar Tefio on blogtalkradio.com. The views expressed here are not necessarily those of all hosts, guests, or producers, and the show is for a mature audience. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Gather Round. We've not been on for a few weeks, and now we're back during Mercury retrograde, so who's to say? Things are totally messed up. So, Monique, good to have you back.
Thank you so much. It's so good to be back.
Tell us a little bit about the retreat. Now that it's over, you've had a little time to start breathing again.
Yes. Well, it went really well. We had, especially considering the weather. And we were able really to speak a lot toward the biggest hit, I think, was the chakra workshop that we had during the retreat. It's funny that one seemed to even more now gravitate toward the chakras as a opportunity to learn a language to roadmap their health in the energetic world. And ones who had not even heard of the word chakra, there were some that were there, but once, you know, you take the word out and you really kind of go into the anatomy of energy, it just makes so much innate sense to people that it really draws them in. So that was the one of the highlights of the retreat. Also, ones were interested in the holistic health program that kind of helps them out all year round, and to really be able to understand how to support oneself holistically in all the different layers of aspects of ourselves. So we in the West are very connected to the physical side of things and how to honor our body, that our body needs movement, it needs exercise, it needs relaxation as well. And so we've kind of gotten to where we're good at knowing that. Whether we are good at doing it or not, us in the West are really versed in how to keep the body as healthy as possible without, you know, going into specialization of different eating ways and things like that. So, but that's only the layer of the physical. I mean, that also touches a little mental and emotional stuff, but basically it's focusing on the physical aspect of our physical layer. But then, like in the retreats and things like that, we really start to experience ourselves and to take time away to experience ourselves as more than just the physical layer. So there are certain practices, there are certain ways to support even our energetic layer, our emotional layer, our mental layer, all of these different aspects of ourselves. If we're going to be a whole, a healthy whole being, then we it would be apropos to give attention to those. So in the retreat and in the summit, we really went into talking about that and gave ones the opportunity, if it resonated with them and if that's something they wanted to do, it gave them the opportunity to make a plan on how, just exactly how they're going to support themselves on being a healthy mental aspect of ourselves, a healthy mental layer, a healthy emotional layer, and a healthy energetic layer, as well as physical. So it was, and this was kind of my prototype, an opportunity to have some guinea pigs for to what it's doing is it's bringing it all together, all the different modalities that I do for a healthy being. It's kind of bringing it all into one program, and I just it was fabulous. I got great feedback, and some opportunities that I have to tweak the program a little bit to make it more accessible to all people and to make it more user-friendly. So I'm really excited about diving deep into that bucket and coming out with more things online that will work in that regard.
Yeah.
So, and besides that, you know, we had a wine and cheese tasting, so there was lots of laughter.
I saw some pictures. Yeah, it looked like fun. I saw some pictures.
Yes, it was awesome. I mean, one night we were all laughing and stayed up so late, and then even went outside afterwards and kind of we had our blankets laid in the grass and looked at the stars. And talked because, you know, when we're in the city so much, many of us stay in the city, that you don't get to see as many stars as when I'm out a little bit away from the city. And Waxahachie is a little bit away from the city, so it was just great. And one of our attendees had, we were all looking at the stars and stuff, and she took us through a little practice of something she did as a little girl. And she would lay down and look at the stars, and she would ball up her hand to where it looked like a little tunnel and put it over her eyes so she could just see, focus on one star. And then her mom used to tell her, or it was her dad, I can't remember which one, but used to tell her how she could gather up all of the ink that she feels, all of her worries, all of her troubles, and that the star was strong enough to handle that and to take that away from her as she sent it out to it. So we all focused on one star, and we just gathered up all of our inhales, you know, and gathered up everything within us, whether we were conscious of it or not, that we needed to release. And on the exhale, we sent it out into the universe. And it was just a beautiful thing. And, you know, I looked at her and I was like, yes. And, I mean, it gave me an opportunity yet again to be a student of life and to be a student of students. I mean, we're all just brothers and sisters hanging out on this earth.
Oh, no, but, you know, what's really great about that was that as a child, her parents taught her this. So,
yes.
You know, that's a wonderful thing, yes.
Yes, and now she has kids of her own, and so in her, I think her youngest is maybe 3 and her oldest maybe about 6 or 7. And, you know, the reason why she took us through it is because it kind of being away from all the responsibilities kind of brought back up in her some of the memories of the things that she, you know, went through as a kid and some mm-hmm. of the pleasant ones as well. And so she's like, you know, I'm going to do that with my kid when she gets home, you know. It sometimes you got to get away from all the responsibilities to have the pleasant, juicy stuff to come back to you, to bring back into your life. So it was great. So we had a blast. And the facility, that was the first time that we've used that particular facility, and it was just phenomenal. So, you know, we've adopted them as our long-term facility.
Well, so that's good. Yeah. That you found a place that really works for you.
Yes, and resonates because, you know, I travel a lot. And I love doing yoga. I don't necessarily call myself a yogi, but I love the tool of yoga, and it's been very helpful for me through my life. And I love the Thai massage, and I love the dance, and I love all these different modalities. And you know, and I love going to all the different retreats that I've gone to, but I'm a little, you know, I like a little comfort. I like to be pampered a little bit, you know, without having to spend a whole bunch of money. And this facility really helps me to keep the caliber of pampering that I want each person that comes to our retreats and our summits to experience, without mm-hmm. having it be so expensive that you know, it's really cost prohibitive. So this facility has helped me to really fulfill that intention, that side of the business, its intention. So, yes, I loved it, and the food was great. The chefs, they did awesome, and you know, the weather cleared up enough for us to really have a good time.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the pampering thing, that is nice. I'm one of those people, I love camping. So, you know,
yeah.
I'm big on festivals because I can sleep on the ground, even though a lot of my friends take air mattresses. pampering is a good thing. So many times, and I think especially women don't because they martyr themselves. It's like, I should do this for my husband or my kids or whatever. And that just takes us right into right now. We're at Valentine's Day. And, you know, you must love yourself before you can love others because there's something about people that don't take care of themselves and yet they're trying to take care of everyone else. Really, they can't do such a good job or as good a job as they would if they paid attention to themselves also.
Right. And I mean, my heart hears you. And I think that's one of the reasons why that it's very important for me to continue for myself to do this, because people, most of the time, the givers don't know how to receive.
Yeah.
And that I've come in contact with and that I've had experience with even in myself, that I had to become really conscious about knowing how to receive. And one of the other things about givers is, they give to the point a lot of times that they're giving from an empty bucket because they haven't replenished their own bucket. And so in these type of events, I really bring consciousness to that. And even my tea talks and everything, you know, it's like the whole intention is to see that we are all beautiful. And you know, it's not about necessarily looking to the external to that person and seeing it in them. That's a beautiful thing to be able to do. But when you can really look in the mirror and give back to that person and take care of oneself, that, you know, even when we look at some of the texts and the scriptures, you know, it's like love thy neighbor as thyself.
As
if you don't know you. Yes, if you weren't loving yourself, then how in the world can you really have a frame of reference about how to love someone other if you can't love self? So, I mean, my heart hears you, and that is one of the main reasons that even when, you know, sometimes these events, they're really big and they go off well or they're small and they're not, either way, it's like I feel honored to be able to be in a business that helps ones to get back to self-love.
Yes, you're very fortunate to have, you know, studied around and thought things through and found this business for you because it's a perfect fit. Because, like you say, who's going to nurture the nurturers? And so it's got to be done. I mean, we can't have all the givers burning out, okay?
Yes, so worn out that... And what happens from my own experience of my own life and from, you know, being in this form of this sector of business for so long is that what I tend to see happen is when a person who is a giver or a nurturer is giving from an empty bucket, then what they are giving is not really what they intend to give anyway.
Yes.
Because if you're working from a non-abundant of compassion, of love, of worth, and you're giving it out to, like, someone else, then it's usually mixed up with a whole bunch of other shadows in the midst of it, because a person who will give so much that they no longer are taking care of self, that's a shadow driver. And so, you know, it's like, but it's also shadows. In order to see them, you got to look at them.
You know,
it's great to be able to see a shadow clearly. But if we are individuals who are givers and caregivers, then we find ourselves consistently giving from a place where we really know that we don't have anything else to give, but we're still giving. Then it is an opportunity to look in the mirror and to see where the shadow is. Because in that, there, most of the time what we have found as I work with ones and as I've worked with myself to get over and make sure that that's not the spot I'm working from, it's usually a worth issue, that I am doing things to make myself feel better or to make myself appear better, because from the base of my foundation, I don't feel worthy. So I'm earning worth through all this stuff I'm doing. And when it is that, you know, that'll run you into the ground. I'll say, like you just said, until we mortar ourselves, you know.
Yeah.
And it really does just take an opportunity of being clear with why, what is the intention for what we do. Sometimes we have to give from an empty bucket because certain situations have placed us there, and we have yet to figure out where the healthy place to get out of the situation. But the mm-hmm. first step is just seeing it, is seeing it clearly. So I'm with you on that.
The martyr thing, I mean, I'm what comes to mind is I have a friend who has pretty much, I mean, done the martyr thing for the husband and the kids and, you know, shut up with a lot for years and years. He was running around after he told her he wouldn't. And, I mean, you know, he had other women and he had said he wouldn't and he did and all of this. The kids urged her to leave him. She didn't. And, you know, I mean, now she seems, I guess, a little bit happier with him, but she's still at a point where, well, if there's something that she needs to eat that he doesn't like, she won't fix it. And I'm like, oh, my God. And, you know, she did a lot of this to keep, you know, that quote, keep the family together, you know, that bullshit one. But, you know, the thing is, the example, I mean, what she has set for her kids, They're very confused now. They're all grown, and they have issues because this time she was saying one thing and martyring herself and wishing for them something different.
Right.
So, like you said, it's when you do that, what you put out doesn't work like you're hoping it will.
Right. It's so in the shadow. It's mixed up with so many things, and usually it's wounds that hadn't been healed. That, you know, you're creating something that you're really not conscious of what you're creating. And if you knew, well, sometimes people do know, but, you know, it's not really what they want to create. But and one of the things because after I did this retreat, facilitated retreat, and me and my business sister, we went on a retreat this past weekend. And one of the things we went through in that one is learned helplessness. And a lot of people who are who get stuck in the crevice of mortarism is learned helplessness. And it becomes so familiar that even when there's an ability to empower self and to change the situation, the person stays in helplessness because they have learned it and that is their mode of operandi. So, it's interesting, and too, I mean, it's like at some point you let go because, you know, the only person that can change and make a difference in a person's life really is themselves. So, you know, I tell people, even on the chakra course that we did, you know, in the workshop, because we really go deep. I mean, we really go deep. And sometimes, you know, when you go that deep with a person, you can kind of bump up against some really sensitive areas. And, you know, it just comes down to, it's like, it's really okay to continue to do what you're doing. It's just a choice. And it's like, if you want to keep playing that game, which there's nothing wrong with playing the game, but if you want to keep playing the game with yourself, it's fine. You know, you have that choice.
Right.
But
it is your choice.
Yes, it is a choice, whether it's conscious or unconscious, whether it is a passive choice or a passive-aggressive choice or an aggressive choice, it still is a decision that is being made if the action is continued. And so, you know, then it's down to if you want to continue to do that, then that's fine, but when you get tired of playing that game with yourself, that's when, okay, it's like, then let's go into the chakras and let's go into layering and, you know, it's a wonderful opportunity to make a difference, you know, because all you got to do is change one thing to make an issue start to change and turn around. You just pick one thing and do it differently, and then it starts to process.
Yeah, one thing, and it can be something that's sort of easy.
Yeah,
I mean, to start with you don't have to make a major life change because it's going to, but you have to take that first step.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of times the first step can be just as simple as changing the story in your head. Because most of the time, because even this, when we did the workshop and the chakras and all of that, then a lot of times people could see what the core of the issue was, but learning how to get from where you are to changing that is huge to a lot of people. So it's like just do one thing, and a lot of times the one thing is just change a part of that story in your head. So when the story keeps saying, oh, well, I got to get up and make that meal for that person, you know, right now, right here and now, I got to get up and do it, I got to get up and do it, I got to get up and do it, you know, and that becomes the mortar thing, then, you know, it can be as easy as saying, no, I choose to get up and do this, even though I really don't want to. And it can be just that small of a change to where you're honoring what is, you're honoring how you really feel, which starts to build that inner worth, but you still get done what the situation tells you you need to take care of. And
okay.
So that begins the subtle change within the mental layer, because if you can change the mental layer, because most of us in the West are very much attached to the mental layer. And, I mean, it's not just the West, but I'm talking about us in this particular. So it's like if you can just start to change that one little thing, start to flip that coin in the head, it starts the domino effect. And, I mean, and there were some of the ones this weekend that when we bumped up against some really sensitive areas, that's where we had to land at. We're going to start changing the story, start flipping the negative coin to be at least neutral. They ain't got to go all the way to positive, because some people can't go from negative to positive. But most people can start moving toward neutral. And then once it's at neutral, we have the ability to see both sides and to choose what we do.
That's true. I'm just a little bit at a time, and changing the story in your head. That's important, and that's a good way of putting it. Because I know people who are going through all kinds of things and doing things that they don't want to do to keep peace for just a while longer in the family until they're gone or whatever, because they're going to leave. But I know somebody who has changed a bit in her mind. Like you said, instead of saying, I've got to get up and do this, I mean, she does the gratitude thing. It's like, well, I'm glad I have a home. I'm glad I'm able to get up and do such and such.
Yeah.
Instead of, well,
that's a beautiful thing, you know, just starting to change the story, because a lot of times what happens is when we're in a situation and we say, well, we're going to stay until the kids are gone. Well, when the kids are gone, then it's like, well, we find a different excuse, because that was just the river of denial that we swam in until it had no more water, and then we go find another river. And so if that is the thing and we find that is happening, then at least while we're in the midst of, okay, we make a choice to stay to keep peace in the family. And like you said, if we can go into gratitude and find something to be thankful for, then that's going to give us some joy in the midst of the moment. And if it's a terrible enough situation, but, you know, it's maybe not physically harmful or whatever, but we decide to stay, then, just starting to change the way we relate to ourselves on the core, on the inner, then once that river dries up, meaning the kids are actually out and grown now, well, we've already changed the story in our heads, so so we don't necessarily go look for another denial river to jump in. It's amazing how powerful the stories that we attach to in our heads are. It really is amazing how powerful they are. So there's so many ways that we can just take baby steps towards health, you know, just a little pinky toe.
Oh, truly. Well, that's the way we all learn to walk. And, you know, we've heard that phrase, thoughts are things, but a lot of people, I think, don't get it until they get it. And thoughts really are things. And we, you know, we work with the unseen world, or we can, as much as with the seen world. And that's, you know, just part of it, because the thoughts, the stories in the head, they're real. They're as real as we make them.
So. And they create our reality, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's like it's easy for a person outside of that person's head to dismiss that. But once we are soft enough to everybody's conditionings and everybody's belief systems, then we can really see that truth, whether we believe it or not, if that person is telling themselves it in the head, then it is their truth. And we can deny it and act like it's not there and start to try to change it before we honor what is. But if we don't honor what is and try to change something, it usually won't stay. So, I mean, one of the best things is honor what we feel in the moment. And then sandwich that with what we would like for it to be, you know. But honor what is. Yes, our mental concepts are just, once we can really tell through experience of life how powerful our mental landscape is in regards to the rest of the layers of us, then that gives us an opportunity to see how powerful we are at creating whatever reality we want. It's like first understand how much power you truly do have by what you're creating unconsciously. And then when you get conscious, it's like, wow, the sky is the limit.
It's like, wow, what took me so long? Okay, yeah.
Yes, I had all this power all along, and I was just creating a bunch of crap. Well,
because of all that crap you created, now you can really appreciate, you know, much more of what you can create now.
Yes.
Would you say
it comes down to skill? I mean, once you know, I have all these ingredients. At which will be our personal empowerment, all these ingredients. And from these ingredients, man, I can cook cake, I can cook a full meal, I can cook Jell-O, I can get. So then it just all, at that point, it's like, shoot, the sky is the limit. So let me get my skill about me to see, well, what do I want to create? You know, maybe I want a 10-layer cake. I got all the ingredients to do it. I just need to practice a little bit to see how to make these layers stand up on each other. That's what I mean by skill, you know. And that's when you're in the master's class of your life. You're just like, hey, and then you make a cake that it don't, like, stand up the way you want. Well, then you got the ingredients, make another one.
No, very good analogy, because, I mean, nobody's going to expect us to get a perfect, you know, if that would have been the case, we'd have gotten a perfect lifetimes ago. So, I mean, the thing is, we're learning as we go, and keep practicing, because like everything, it gets better when you practice.
Yes, and that's what creating is. I mean, it's like from where I'm sitting, we're all creators because we're creating our experience of life every time we do something or not do something, every time we make a choice or passive aggressive don't make a choice or consciously don't make a choice. Either way, we're creating an experience. And so once we get that, once we're able to really somehow in our cellular level understand we're creating every experience that we have in this rock, some we're co-creating and some we're just creating on our own. Once we get that down, then it's like, okay, well, shoot, I'm creating as it is. Why don't I create something I like? And that's when you start getting into the spices and putting in different types of, I mean, that's one of the things that I love to do when I do cook, because I don't cook a whole bunch. My husband is the cook of the house. But when I do cook, it's like I just get all the spices out, and I know, you know, which are kind of Asian spices, which are kind of Mexican, which are here. And then with the dish that I cooked tonight, I cooked some cabbage with onions and potatoes, and then had some sausage links on the side and some cornbread. And so I ended up using a broth that I was not used to, that I hadn't used before, so it had a different taste. But, you know, I was like, okay, this is not really what I expected and not necessarily what I wanted, so then I went back to the cabinet. And so, you know, I ended up putting, because that was more of a vegetarian broth, so I ended up putting like a beef broth in there because we're not, you know, we're not vegetarians in the house. We do it sometimes, but so then, you know, I put a little beef bouillon in there, and then that kind of, it woke up the flavor, and I'm like, okay, now where does this take me? Get another taste of it, and it kind of, okay, it needs a little pitta, it needs a little fire, so I put a little, you know, a little cayenne in there, and a little, so it's like, that's life. That's how, once we realize we are creators in life, then that's the way that we can go about creating. And we see, well, okay, I put this and this together, and I'm creating this experience. And while in the midst of the experience, we're like, well, this is cool, but I would really rather have this. And then we add another person, take out a person, add another skill, take out a skill, add a certain conversation or take out a conversation. You know, and that's how we start to create our experiences in life, and each experience come together to make a whole. So it really is kind of like component cooking once you really get down that that we are creators, and how we really get to a point that we can embrace that we're creating is by releasing those blocks, releasing the baggage that we carry, healing the wounds of the past. Those are the things that block our eyes from seeing how much we truly are creating in each moment. And yeah. So that's why we do the chakra stuff and the meditations and the yoga and all that, just to kind of clear the clutter so we can see how beautiful, how empowered we can be to create whatever life we want to live.
Right. Okay, my friend. Wow, that went fast. You can be found at healthymovementsinternational.com.
Yes, .com. Right. And we're working diligently behind the scenes to get all of our online classes and stuff up. We're going to be working on that for the next quarter nonstop. So it'll be filling out real soon. So thank you so much, Ruthann, for inviting me, and I can't wait till next time.
Oh, this is great, and happy Valentine's Day. Yes, love to your husband, and, you know, it's like, okay, love ourselves, love our partners, love the world, right? Reach out.
Yes.
It's awesome. Yeah. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Much, much love to all of y'all. Namaste.
Oh, namaste. Well, good evening, Sarit.
Hi.
Hi. I know you've got a lot to tell us about different things in Palestine. We were just talking about, you know, Valentine's Day is like in 2 days. And there's, because you and I talk, and we so admire and just love the spirit of the people in Palestine because of what they're going through. And yet most people aren't bitter.
Yes.
And
you know, that, and that takes a certain kind of person. I saw there were some more night raids over the past few days. Have you been watching that?
Night raids every night.
Yeah.
It's part of showing their presence, they call it in IDF.
Right, part of the terror. Because they want people to live in fear. And
exactly.
So, well,
exactly the words of how they want people to live. The goal of being there is to instill fear. Those are words of a soldier that is speaking and breaking the silence. I shared it on my wall 2 hours ago, and that's what he said, yes. And the way they did that, this soldier, for instance, he said his officer made girls in the checkpoint sing and dance for him.
Oh, see, how demeaning.
It left me in shock, and I've seen war, but this actually left me in a state of shock. I didn't know what to, my brain didn't know where to go after I heard it. It's just so horrific.
That's like people that have, I'm real, whatever, about having, I know people that have dogs, and they make them do tricks. I hate it. If you have a dog,
I hate it too, and I have dogs, and I don't make them do tricks
ever. If your dog comes up to you and puts their paw on your leg, and you can pet it or you can shake it or play with it, that's fine. But you don't make the dog set, shake, roll over, play dead. I mean, that to me, that is such a disrespect for our fellow beings. And then here's these idiots asking other humans to behave like that.
That's insane.
I don't know what to say either. I mean, what do you say? Because obviously they've been so brainwashed, they don't look at other people, they don't look at Palestinians as human men.
No, they don't. Because they're not the chosen people.
Right.
But this has been a very, very loud week in Israel when it comes to protests from religious anti-Zionists.
I have been reading that more and more Israeli Jews are saying, screw this, this is all wrong.
Huge riots this week in a city called Ashdod and Jerusalem, especially by a certain Jewish group called Neturei Karta. They set police cars on fire and blocked roads.
Wow.
No, regular riots. They get arrested and beaten very badly. They are very angry because the new Israeli president wants them to be soldiers, and they're saying IDF is not moral and does not fit their way of thinking at all, their way of life, you know?
Yeah.
Shocking.
Wow. No, good for
that
them.
That they would want religious people to go kill, I mean.
Well, I mean, that. Yeah.
In America where you have the right-wing Christians and the left-wing Christians. Exactly. Israel is exactly the same.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I think, you know, the more I learn about the two countries, the more it's, you know, the thing about one being up the other's butt. I mean, I really think so. I don't know which is which because they do things so similarly. I don't know who learned from who.
Yeah, isn't that? I agree with you.
Yeah, I mean, Israel is such a tiny, tiny little country, and the United States is so big, but yet the United States, a lot of people in here have that closed mind. And then, you know, AIPAC and all of that pays off the people in Washington, the people in power. So,
yes, in both sides.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah,
very
the party, it doesn't matter. It's the party. It's just a capitalistic party that is out to get more money.
Yeah, there's no socialist party, is there? Or there is very small. They don't get any funding. So we have a problem of money and politics everywhere. Destroying democracy.
Could you tell us a little bit about this? Because I think we both checked the article, and you know more about it.
Yes.
Some of the Zionists are talking about tearing down the mosque.
Oh, yeah. The Al-Aqsa Mosque in Jerusalem, the second most holy place in Islam, the beautiful mosque with a gold dome. They're talking of removing it. First I found out in an Israeli group because I shared the Israeli police or soldiers storming the mosque and throwing tear gas in there. And the Israeli group says, what, we cannot go pray in our mosque? And I said, is that a praying ritual to go and throw grenades? Well, it's ours, it's not theirs. We were just being nice, letting them be there until now.
Oh, bullshit.
Wow.
Yeah,
it's like talking to...
Well, now, isn't this the mosque that they have actually, at the edges of it, been digging and chipping away for a while?
Yes, mm-hmm. yes.
Oh. Yeah. And so that's
the way... Settlers went to the Dead Sea to get special rocks that they're supposed to build it with. I notice a lot of people are talking about building the third temple. I hope I'm getting it wrong. I hope it's just rumors. But too many people are talking about it, including Israeli Channel 10 the other day.
Well, they have some messed up prophecy thingy that they're going by. Just like the Christian Zionists in this country, it's not that they're so madly in love with Israelis, but they want certain things to happen to come around, because then they figure, then they're supposed to eventually, from the Christian Zionist side, they're going to convert the people in the Jewish faith to Christianity. And the understand it, the Jewish people who believe these crazy prophecies are looking for the coming of the Messiah, because they don't recognize the myth of the Christians that Jesus was the Messiah.
Yeah, there's lots of false prophecies going on right now.
And let's face it, some people doing this stuff, they know better, but they're using it.
Yes, I believe so.
Because a lot of people don't want to mess with religious beliefs, and they think that they can manipulate people who have this fanaticism. And I think that that's what some people are doing. They don't believe it any more than we do. But if it serves their purpose, well, they'll use it.
We all know Israel profits on war and the occupation and the slavery of the Palestinians.
Yeah.
They're working in slavery jobs in the settlements.
It just goes on and on. And now we've had several people have been opposing things and talking about, what's her name? We don't even think she's pretty, but what Scarlett Johansson?
Oh,
is that her name?
Yes. Johansson,
because she's got herself all up in SodaStream. And, you know, people are so blind. I don't know if I had mentioned it before, that a friend of mine, I mean, months ago, we had this talk. She didn't need the thing, but she was looking at it, and I was saying, well, in the first place, you don't need it. However, I know there's similar things on the market. I said, don't buy SodaStream. It's made on the backs of Palestinians and, you know, made in factories on stolen land, on and on. And after that talk, it was like a couple months, and then she inadvertently mentioned that she had bought one. And I said, what? You know, I was like speechless. And she said, oh, but it wasn't made there. It was made in, I don't know, she said, some European country. And I'm like, well, you know, the money, it's still the same company. But see, she wanted the thing, so she wasn't going to listen. And, I mean, we have to get past that. We have to have people actually care and boycott. And I'm not sure. I mean, more people are boycotting, though. And did you
yes.
read some of the... Well, some of the
I don't
people,
boycott
Israeli
will even...
government, they've mentioned it, that it's hurting them. So
yes.
I'm glad. I mean, I think that's wonderful that, you know...
There's a boycott from within on the 67 settlements from the year 67. Even people in Tel Aviv are boycotting the settlements.
Wow. See, that,
yes.
because people, sooner or later, you know, right overcomes wrong. And people, once they really learn the truth and see it for themselves, they can't really help but do the right thing eventually.
Together we are very powerful.
Oh, very, very.
They're always trying the media to affect the way we think because they do care about what we think.
Yeah. Because, well, the media wants us to think the way their owners think. I mean, they don't want the dissenters. But humans by themselves are very powerful. I mean, the thing that holds us back is not believing our power. And then the idea of human people together. I mean, there's nothing that we can't do, truly.
I've been watching the Moral Mondays that have been happening in South Carolina or something like that. They're huge. They're getting huge lately, like a whole block of people.
Nope,
great
no.
spirit. I should share it with you sometime.
Yeah. No, that's wonderful because people are finding out, and that was just like, I think the best thing that came out of Occupy was people started feeling their own power.
Now slowly we'll have more Moral Mondays all over the states. I'm seeing that 3 states have them. I'll send it and share it.
Wow,
it's
yes,
just
please.
Many things to share, you know, we get lost.
Well, yeah, give people some ideas. Something else that I wanted to ask you about, because I know you yourself, I don't want to say suffer, but you've been affected by PTSD, post-traumatic stress syndrome. And
yeah.
I read something recently that what they said that all Palestinians are.
Oh, yeah. Much
more. There's way not. So it is, I mean, there's not enough counselors or organizations or whatever to really help the people and the children who...
Yeah, the medical field is so corrupt. They're not really helping any problem right now. They're just giving people drugs that they can profit on and keep the problems going.
Well, for sure. Yeah.
Once we get a good medical field run by the people for the people, wow, we could do a lot more.
Yeah.
PTSD, almost cured for the World War I veterans. I watched some documentary about it. They really need help.
Yeah. Well, and the Vietnam War veterans, they were the ones that were treated the worst when they came back.
Yeah, and didn't get any help. My Vietnam vet friends didn't get any help once they got back.
I have one who actually is getting, he's doing fine. He's getting help through the VA hospitals and things. But I think the case is more like what you're saying. Most of them didn't, or whatever they got wasn't all it should have been. And now they're the ones who a lot of them, not the one I was thinking of, but some of the others, somebody in my family actually had the Agent Orange deal going for them. And
I know,
really, you know, that they can do about that. And, well, then you think about then all the people that we killed, that our government killed in Vietnam, like with Agent Orange and other things. I mean, much less all the people they just shot to death and bombed and everything. But, you know, they ruined the land for years to come.
Yeah, no one ever talks about it.
Mm-mm.
Or apologizes to them, right?
Right.
Wow.
No, it's just like, well, you know, blah, blah. And I mean,
because communism, they say?
Well, that was another false flag, the Vietnam War.
You know what concerns me? I'm studying history right now a lot, and Hitler's whole campaign was against communism, too.
Who was?
Hitler, World War II. The whole campaign of World War II is to defend Germany from communism.
And that was, I mean, in the first place, real communism sure beats what we've got. And, I mean, it wasn't really communist then. But, well, you know, I saw something today that it was one of those things you smile at and then you keep from crying. It was a poster on Facebook. And somebody said that, you know, they used to wonder how all these 6 million people followed Hitler, you know.
Oh, blah, yeah.
Blah. And then they looked around them and said, oh, that's what the Americans are doing. It's, you know, just blindly. And not that everybody followed Hitler or did what he wanted blindly. But it is true that so many Americans are just blind. And I think
yes.
At this point, Sarit, at this point, isn't it almost like they've chosen to be blind. I mean, they chose to watch mainstream media, and they think that they've got a handle on what's happening in the world. And they think that we are just like conspiracy theorists or that we're crazy or something. And,
yeah. Yeah, I meet them from time to time.
Yeah,
by Nashville, I would approach people in the street and try to talk to them to join the movement. Once in a while, I would get yelled at by someone. It was actually funny.
Yes, because and those are the people, then when they start yelling at you, you figure, okay, they are either so delusional or they're forcing themselves back into denial because they're, again, a part of them knows you're right. But they don't want to admit it because then, once you admit to something, then you have a responsibility to do something.
Oh, absolutely.
And there again, a lot of them feel unempowered. They don't think that they can make a difference. They just don't want to take a chance. It's a crazy time we're living in.
Some people really love their mainstream media. They really believe it. They got used to it.
I know. I've had people tell me, well, yeah, I know what's going on. I'm on, you know, current events everywhere. I watch Fox News, and, you know, then I'm speechless because what do you say to somebody who watches Fox News and is sure that they know everything that's going on.
Very different then.
Yeah.
Really. You really might just need to use artwork to get to them, like drawings, you know, or something, or music. I think talking to people is sometimes futile.
Yeah. Music is good. You're right. Music is good. And art, because, well, you know, they used to say like what was it? Oh, a picture was worth 1,000 words. And
yes.
And I think this is really true. A lot of people are using, using, though, the written word, like poems.
Yeah, and you get right to their soul with art without all the words that you use.
Yes.
I think art is a great way to influence the next generation, too.
I mean, all the arts, whether it's the painting, the wonderful painting like you do, the songs you do, and Amnon, and then Amreen in Kashmir writes the most heart-wrenching poetry about what's happening. And, you know, those kind of things can really get people stirred up. I mean, we all have things that resonate with us most. And
absolutely.
So you know, have people, and you're multi-talented, and so you have all of these things out there so people can start to see, wow, okay, that's what they're talking about. I get it now. So I am very optimistic.
Yeah, there's many artists in Israel that wrote songs in Hebrew about the occupation and how terrible it is. There's one guy who wrote a song that actually got to the mainstream about learning to kill as a matter of habit. Very sad song that I love. It's a beautiful, beautiful song. And on the other hand, there's another guy who has a neo-Nazi song about anyone who's not Jewish who shouldn't get out of that land. So we have both types of art over there.
Right, right.
And the right-wing singer just won an award, a huge award.
Oh.
It's making us all sad. They're really encouraging fascism. I mean, his song is inciting hate to lefties and Arabs. It's not just a song that you can say, oh, that's borderline. That song is extreme. I was shocked. I heard it once, and it was offensive.
Oh.
And that song won.
He won, and I mean, there again, you know, awards, well, look at awards. Look at the Nobel Peace Prize. Now, you know, if anybody on Earth should never have gotten it, it was Obama. So,
what was that about?
But
he didn't do anything
awards,
yet.
So this guy, I mean, the government, I'm sure, they're sponsoring behind the scenes or whatever, or helping, you know, I mean, they were all for him winning with all his inciting fascism. It's amazing to me how still so many Israelis are doing the very same thing that the German people did in the Second World War. It just blows me away. Aren't we supposed to learn from history? I don't know. But we've only
and
got
on
a couple
the other
of
hand,
minutes.
Every Friday there's a bunch of Israelis who go and stand in front of rubber bullets and tear gas. That's just amazing.
Yes. I mean, those are the heroes.
Making a much worse strain of tear gas because they decided that this tear gas is too mild. So they're making...
Wonderful.
From May, they're going to have much worse tear gas.
Okay, that's later here. Oh.
Yeah, that's not good.
We have to go, Valentine's Day and the full moon are in 2 days.
Oh, wow.
So it should be a powerful one. So besides loving those near and dear, we're just going to urge everybody to reach out because, you know, love truly can win for the whole world, for all of us.
Especially now that we're all connected.
Exactly. So we need to really concentrate on that and just spread it around however you can do it. Good energy.
I think things will get better.
Whatever, yeah. We're on the upswing. 2014 is supposed to show us a lot of good stuff. So my dear, have a wonderful Valentine's Day. And besides Michael, hug all those furs of yours.
We will.
Puppies and kitties and everything. And we'll see you back here next week.
See you. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay.